Let's open our Bibles together to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. Begin reading in verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now, when I began looking at this passage of Scripture, I believe the first thing that stood out to me was God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty in all things. His sovereignty in providence. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? There in the Scriptures, he declared, he said, "At the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. My understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, 'What doest thou?'" Our God orders and directs all things. All things according to the counsel of his own will. Not what's convenient for us or what would necessarily make us happy, but all things according to his will. Look at verse 22 here of our text. Here in Matthew 14. It says, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Everything in providence is constrained. It's ordered and directed by Almighty God. We know all things. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Almighty God is sovereign in providence. He's sovereign in creation. Look at verse 26. The disciples saw him walking on the sea. Here we see his sovereignty in and over his creation. God created the earth and the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars. He created man in his own image. He created all things. And here in our text, we see him walking on the sea. Why couldn't he walk on the sea? It's his, isn't it? It's his to do with it what he will. Whether we understand, men have tried to understand that. How's that possible? That God could walk on the sea. The Lord Jesus Christ could walk on the sea. It's his. He can do with it what he will. And here in our text, we see that the old writers say that he was probably, you know, it wasn't just like right along the shore. This was probably 4 or 5 miles away from the shore. And the Lord Jesus Christ walks on the sea. He's sovereign in creation, sovereign over his creation. And God is sovereign in salvation. He chose to save some, but not all. He constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Now there were many there. He told the multitudes to go away. He sent the multitudes away, but he constrained his disciples to get into that ship. Christ died for some, but not all. He sent his gospel to some, but not all. He causes some to hear his voice, but not all. We read in our text that Jesus spake unto them. He spake unto his disciples. All whom he chose, all whom he redeemed by the blood of Christ, all that he justified by his grace shall be kept and delivered by his power, by the power of his grace. Look at verse 22 again. Christ constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side. And if you look at verse 34, if you look down in the passage there, you'll see that when the disciples came over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Despite the wind, despite the waves, despite the unsteady sea, despite their fears, he did what he said he was going to do, didn't he? He said, get into the ship and go to the other side. And he delivered them to the other side. God's sovereignty. His sovereignty in creation. His sovereignty in providence. His sovereignty in salvation. This wind, with this in mind, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture together. Okay, beginning with verse 22. Let's look at it just verse by verse. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Again, he constrained his disciples. He made them do something that they didn't necessarily want to do. That word constrained, it means to use some force. Okay, he constrained them. And you know what? How often are we constrained? Do we have to be constrained to do that which we wouldn't do in and of ourselves? Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Begin with verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it's no more I that do it, but sin. Sin that dwelleth in me. Thank God. Thank God that His people are made willing. We're made willing in the day of His power. Turn back to our text. He constrained His disciples to get into the ship. Again, not everyone. That ship wasn't there for everyone. He told His disciples, get into the ship. His sheep. His sheep. And they obeyed Him. Just as God did the same thing with this pattern. We see it throughout Scripture. He did the same thing with Noah. Noah and his family. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Come into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And not only did he put them in there, once he told them to go, he shut the door. He shut the door to keep them in. Get in the ship. Get in the ark. Get in there and stay in there. And then over in Acts 27, you don't have to turn there, but Paul was on that voyage with those prisoners. And he said, except, remember that some of the soldiers, they were gonna let down some of the men in a lifeboat down the side of the ship. Paul said, stop. He said, except you abide in the ship. Except you abide in the, you cannot be saved. Get in the ship. Abide in the ship. Rest in the ship. Stay in the ship. Rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest in Him and Him alone. Well, let's read on. Let's read on in our text. Look at verse 23 there. It says, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I believe we see here a description of the believer's life. The believer's life. There's times when it's smooth sailing, as they would say. But so often the wind is boisterous and the sea's rough and we're tossed to and fro. It's one of trouble and tribulation, tossed with the waves. For the wind was contrary. I was thinking about those giant waves. We go to the, been fortunate to go to the beach a few times over the years, and sometimes you're there and the kids could go out and play because the waves were just kind of small, just gently kind of rolling over, not enough to even knock a little one down. But then there's times when the sea is, that ocean's rough. I can remember one time, and we laughed about this, but there was a couple out in the ocean, and the waves, where they just come up over top of them and just knock them down. And they'd kind of gather their senses, and before they could get up, another wave just come and just kept beating down on them, And isn't that true in our lives that there's times that we just feel like those waves just keep coming? And that's where these disciples are right now. They were tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. Our Lord said this. He said, in this world, you'll have tribulation. You'll have trouble. Well, verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Now in this time of trouble, I'm sure the disciples were probably thinking, are we gonna make it to the other side? Is this Is this ship going to capsize and turn over on us? But in the fourth watch of the night, they said that's about 3 a.m., about 3 a.m. in the morning, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to His disciples. How often have you laid up late at night, just troubled? And the Lord comes and He comforts His people. David wrote this in the Psalms, Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He's with His people. He's with His people at all times. All times. And how often do we need reminding that He'll never leave nor forsake His people? Aren't we quick to forget? And like the children of Israel, how often did they say, Lord, Moses, did you just bring us out here to kill us in the desert? Well, verse 26, when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled. And they said, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Now, just a few things to think about here. Let me say this encouraged me, because in spite of God's mercy, in spite of His blessing, in spite of His grace, how often do I doubt? How often do we doubt? How often do we doubt Him? How often do we fear? Turn back a page to verse 15. Of Matthew 14. Look, begin at verse 15. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that we may go into the village and buy themselves some victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto Him, we have but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And He said, bring them hither to me. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake and gave loaves to His disciples, and the disciples and the multitude, and they did all eat. And were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And when they'd eaten, there were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Just earlier that evening, the Lord had taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and He had fed 5,000 men. That didn't include the women. That didn't include any of the children that were running around. And on top of that, we read there were 12 baskets of leftovers. They had just seen this miracle. Not 12 hours earlier. They had just seen this. And now they doubt and fear. When the storm came, They were troubled, weren't they? They were troubled. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Verse 23. When He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But He, the Lord Jesus Christ, He was asleep. And His disciples came to Him, and they awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, for we perish. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful? O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? The disciples had followed the Lord into a ship, and that great storm came. Great storm. It arose, and they went, and they woke up the Lord. And they said to him, save us, or we perish. In Mark's account, we read that they said to him, carest thou not? Carest thou not that we perish? Lord, don't you care? How often have we spoke those words? Maybe not out loud for people to hear us, but in here, in our fears and our doubts. Lord, do you care? I think we can all relate to his disciples, can't we? And listen, it was the Lord back here in our text that had put them. He had told them, you go into this ship and go over to the other side. He constrained them. We read that in verse 20. He constrained them. Get into the ship. And again, in spite of their fears and doubts that we all can quickly relate to. Look at verse 27. Straightway Jesus spake unto them. He spake unto them. And he said three things. I believe he said these in love. I think he believed he said these in pity and in grace and mercy to them. He said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. No doubt they heard him. You know, up to this point we read they were troubled. They were troubled and they cried out with fear. Up to that point they had seen this man walking on the water. But now they hear him. He spoke to them. You know, faith doesn't come by seeing, does it? Faith comes by hearing. And they heard him. They heard him. Are you troubled? Are you troubled? Do you have fears and doubts? What did they do? They cried out. They cried out to the Lord. They cried to him. Listen to this. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. He hears the cry of his sheep. And he spake. He spake to them. The Master speaks to them. When they saw him, they cried out with fear. But straightway he spoke unto them. And they heard him. They heard him. John 10, 20. Turn to John chapter 10. Look at verse 27 of John chapter 10. My sheep, they hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Safe and secure in the hand of God. No man can pluck them out of my hand. Well, he spake unto them. He speaks peace. He says, be of good cheer. Three other times in Scripture, our Lord use this phrase, be of good cheer. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Be of good cheer. Look at verse 1. He entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, and behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Isn't that reason to be of good cheer? Thy sins be forgiven. He said that you may know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. We'll turn to Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 20. Just verse 20. We read this earlier. Hold a woman that was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And then in John chapter 16, I'll just read it to you. John 16:33. He says, These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, in this world, you'll have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. All be of good. We've much reason to be of good cheer. He says, It's I. It is I. He reveals himself. Just as Joseph revealed himself to his brother. Remember that? He said, don't be afraid. You meant this for evil. God meant it for good. He said, It is I. I'm your master. I'm your savior. I'm your redeemer. The one who is able to save. And the one who came for that purpose. He said, It is I. And some translate that it is I to I am. I am. Which speaks of our Lord's eternal existence. Christ is the everlasting I am. The eternal God which is, was, and is to come. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. In Isaiah 43, we read this earlier. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. For I have, here's some good reason. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. And the rivers, they'll not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. It'll be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There they were in the furnace, and the fourth was like the Son of Man. There Christ was with them back there in the Old Testament. And when they brought him out, you know how it is when you burn brush. You can't be around fire without smoke getting on you. When they come out, not only was their skin not singed or burnt, there wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. When you pass through the fire, you'll not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Jesus spake unto thee. He said, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And then, back in our text here in Matthew 14, look at verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. The Lord Jesus Christ said, Come. You know, I don't know how men mistake God's command as an invitation. I guess I do understand it, because then it puts it in the hand of men. But he said, come. He said, this is a command. No man can come unto me except the Father would send him, draw him. It were given him my Father. It's a command. Command must be obeyed. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. When he saw that wind, you know, to look to anything or anyone apart from Christ, we should be overcome with fear. If we're looking to anything but Christ, that would be good reason to be afraid. Because there's no hope. There's no hope in any other. He began to sink and he cried. And listen to this prayer. Three words. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Otherwise, Lord, if you don't save me, I'll perish. I have no hope but you. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be. Whereby we must be saved. Lord. Lord. Save me. You know, those three points we looked at this morning. Am I a sinner? Am I a sinner? Am I dead in trespasses and sin? Did Christ die for me? Is he my only Savior? Is he my only hope? I have no righteousness. I have no sin offering. I have nothing. I have nothing apart from Christ. Peter cried out. I believe it was a cry of desperation too. It was one of, he was serious about it. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And listen, he didn't cry out to the other. Notice he didn't. Those disciples are the ones he'd been spending all that time on the ship with. He didn't cry out to them. He didn't cry out to himself. He didn't say, stand back here for a minute and let me, maybe if I get rid of this robe and I won't drown in it, I can swim a little better. I can make it on my own. It's not what he said, was it? He didn't say, somebody throw me a life preserver and I'll grab and hold on to it. No, he said, Lord, save me. It was personal, wasn't it? Huh? And there was only one he could cry out to. Lord, save me. Without you, I'll perish. Without you, I'll drown. Without you, I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. And immediately, look at verse 31. Immediately. The old hymn writer wrote, the vilest offender who truly believed, that very moment, a pardon from Jesus receives. Jesus stretched forth his hand, and he caught him. What we read are, no man can pluck them out of my hand. My sheep, they hear my voice. I know them, they follow me, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Even Peter, Maggie, you mentioned that last night, even Peter who had, think about this, he had denied the Lord three times, that are recorded here, right? Probably more so than that, but he had denied the Lord three times. Peter, who would have, When the Lord died, would have just went back to his old work of fishing. Just go back to my old job. Peter. Well, what a mess he was, wasn't it? But the Lord, he said, save me. Lord, save me. He reached forth his hand and he caught him. He brings him back into the ship. Every one of us can relate to Peter there, can't we? Huh? Miserable. Just, well, oh thou of little faith. Could that be said to each of us? Oh thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? We could cry out, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Well, look at verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came, and they worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They worshipped him. They worshipped him. They said, thou art the Son of God. Look back at verse 27, and I'll quit here. I was thinking about this as the title for the lesson, but I know it was way too long to post. It's, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. But listen to this. It is I. It is I. Be of good cheer, it is I. It is I. Listen, it's I that put you in the ship. Almighty God constrained them to go into that ship. It is I that am with you. Even though he was off on the shore, he could see him the whole time. God sees all things. It is I that save you. It is I that keep you. Huh? He saved him. He brought him back into that ship. And it's I that you worship. We worship him, don't we? They worshiped him as the Son of God. And he didn't correct them on that either, did he? Because he is the Son of God. He is God. It is I, listen, that will deliver you safely to the other side. So with that, what was his last command there? Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. All right. I pray God would bless his word, our hearts here this morning. Brother Mike. Thank you.